On this week's edition of Android App Addicts, Dor feels like Captain Kirk, Ivor is ignominious, and Josh brings more terrible apps.
Hey, Podnutians, welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 554, the podcast all about Android apps, Android ecosystems, hardware, software galore, the cloud, the IoT, and everything in between. This show is brought to you by our Patreon supporter, Sharon I. I want to thank you for the support in the past, Sharon. Due to Patreon supporters like you, we are able to keep most of this network ad-free. So I definitely want to say thank you to everyone out there. If you want to support this show directly, you can go to patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts, and then you can support the show directly as well. And my internet went completely down the tubes. How are you doing, Ivor?
Oh, I'm pretty good. As you can see, I have a new thing on my face. So I've been terrorizing the kids and upsetting the wife. It's been great. First time I've grown a beard.
Gotcha. How are you doing, Josh?
Hey, Dor. Long time no see. I am doing well, thank you. Just been pretty busy around here, taking care of things that need to be taken care of. Nothing too exciting.
Hey, Dor, sorry to bother you. I'm checking the live stream on YouTube now. There's
yes,
just a
I know. That's
screen.
What I just said, that my internet kind of gave up.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I blame the kids, but I am still local recording, so we still got that going for us, which I guess is good.
What about you, Dor? How you been?
I'll say normal crazy, going to my kid's school, trying to convince him that, no, he really isn't that crazy. He's just a little bit crazy for you. That's all. I don't know if they believe me.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I'm pretty happy that I grew up when I did, and not time of every kid has to be the same as every other child, and you know, for students wise, and if you aren't, then there's a good chance that they'll recommend drugs and pharmaceuticals and everything else.
Social media to worry about.
Camera phones and all the like. Not that I ever did anything wrong, or you know, would have been caught on video doing anything stupid.
Not anything you're going to admit to, anyway.
And your beard's looking great, Ivor.
Oh, yeah, I noticed yours is a bit longer, too.
Yeah, well.
Oh, Jesus. That was a bit concerning. Oh, we're back up on YouTube.
Okay. Sorry about that, guys. I blame the kids and tablets. And I'll say, here's the only good news about kids and school and drugs and everything is, thankfully, most kids these days are not active on any social media because they find that's for boomers kind of thing. They are on YouTube, though, which I'm pretty sure YouTube is just going to try to become more and more of a social platform as time moves on.
I just said, okay, boomer, and my Google Home went off. Google Assistant was asking.
You could take that a lot of different ways, is what I'll say. Yeah, and I will say I think we're gonna end up getting my youngest kid. He's 11. I think we're gonna end up probably getting him a phone sometime next year is what I'm gonna say. I asked him to ask, like, pick two or three classes and just ask everyone who talk to if they have a phone. Over like 70% of the kids he asked already have a mobile phone at the age of 11. I want to say the last study I heard said by the age 11, almost 80%. Of kids in the U.S. have phones, which I find to be a little bit insane.
So how does he get to school? Does he catch a bus?
Yeah, the bus is literally like a 4-minute walk from the front door of the house. He's the last to leave. We try to stay here until he leaves. Sometimes we do make it, sometimes we don't. But he's also the home after his older brother, so he's always here waiting for him, which is good.
Because my youngest daughter, she's 9, and we had to give her a cell phone because she started taking a bus. We changed her school, and she had to take the same bus as her brother. And we were just uncomfortable. Sometimes You know, her brother had a phone, but it was, you know, not always reliable. It doesn't always have battery. So yeah, I set her up with a new phone, which is a cheap crappy ZTE, and I set Family Link on it, and that allows me to check her location at any time, or the location of the phone at any time. And the Google Family Link is actually really good. I was quite impressed with it.
Yeah, first thing I did when I got my oldest son was just to go into Google Maps and just said location sharing and just put my email address in, just because it's one of those things. And I, to be honest, I did the same thing back to him. I went onto my phone and I shared my location back with him, and I told him that anytime you want to know where I'm at, you can find out.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. I've always thinking, because we go long more than a couple of times, that we start to do apps first thing in the beginning of the episode. So what I will say is the first app I'm going to bring tonight is the kind of app I have to bring. And by that, I mean, you know, like Eric would always bring like trivia kind of apps. Well, this is like one of the apps that I always kind of bring. It's Google Stadia, the official app launched this week. I do believe they said that invites already went out. Hardware has already began to ship November 16th, which is less than 48 hours from the time we hit record, is the day that people are going to be able to log in to Google Stadia and start to play games. I'll just say this. I went through the whole roller coaster on Google Stadia. Is it going to be successful or not? I think there's so much money in gaming, it's going to be really difficult for them to not at least have some success. But if history is also any example, when Google decides to charge money for something, they almost never cancel it. They might morph it into something else, but they almost never cancel it. So I think this is going to end up making Google more in traction and eyeballs than money, but I'm sure it's going to make a pretty penny too.
When is it supposed to launch?
November 16th is the first day that the Stadia Founders Edition are going to be able to start playing. I believe the normal people are going to have to wait 3 months after that. So I want to say it's around early February.
So have you got it in Canada, Josh?
I have access to the app. As far as Stadia, I don't know.
So the only option for me is to add it to my wish list. I don't seem to be able to store it.
Gotcha. Well, and I'll say, if you guys are looking at the screenshots, they do have on their list, like, what are some of the launch games going to be? And I will encourage people, do not make fun of one of the games on the list. It's literally Just Dance 2020. Just Dance is just about the most successful game franchise in the history of games, kind of like Fast and Furious, is actually dollar-wise the most successful series of movies ever made. Doesn't mean they're good, just means they're successful.
I've never tried it, actually.
Josh,
you know, does it every day.
I could see Dor busting a move.
No.
You've got your own Just Dance machine in the lounge, haven't you, Josh?
So, Dor, what exactly does this app do?
Well, originally, the idea behind Google Stadia, it's on live, it's the NVIDIA cloud, it's X cloud, it's what everyone now is starting to do, which is server-based games, aka, you remember, kids? Gather around, kids. Do you remember back in like 1979, you would log in through a phone modem onto a bulletin board system and you would play a game on somebody else's computer? Yeah, it was almost all text, but you could play a game on somebody else's computer. Well, those days are back again. With Google Stadia, you can connect your Google Stadia official Chromecast up to your large screen TV with their controller, play games, AAA games, on their servers, is where all the work's happening, but on your screen is where it's being displayed and your controller is the input for it. The goal is to have it ubiquitous gaming via a network, whether it be on a tablet, a phone, a computer, a Chromebook, or a television, for all AAA kind of games, Red Dead, I can't remember what it's called.
Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah. And, you know, basically all of the games people are freaking out over is what I'm going to say, it are going to be available on Stadia because Google has money and people like money. So it's going to try to be a competitor. Xbox X Cloud just launched beta last week. Sony is not really making noise about what they're doing so far. Nvidia platform is and has been officially available now for months, where you could play on your Shield tablet games that are running in the cloud.
But if this,
that's really
yeah, but this app, if it's not even available for 3 months, what, this app just sits on your phone and you can't do anything with it until then?
Well, in normal Google fashion, you can download the app all day long. Doesn't mean you can play the games. Because if you take a look at the download numbers, I want to say it was already 100,000 plus installs. There's not 100,000 plus people who got the Founders Pack for Google Stadia. So people are installing it, I'll say, anticipating that they'll be able to play games sooner than later. But also, I do believe with this app, you are going to be able to find other people who are playing games and streaming, in air quotes, the games to other people, and you'll be able to view those games as well. You'll also be able to do that on normal YouTube, but I'm pretty sure they're going to try to make this a community hub on top of just being able to launch games on it.
I also imagine they'd want a stage rollout, given the hype that they've had around it. Because a lot of people are just going to try it and then probably never play it again. So they want to kind of restrict the numbers of users that are loading up the servers so they get the best experience. And then gradually as the capability increases, they'll be expanding it out to more users.
I'm sure, yes. Yeah, they learned a lot helping the three games. The one was called like Field Guide. Then they did the Ingress and Harry Potter and Pokemon Quest, Pokemon Go. With all of that, Google learned a lot about infrastructure, balancing, fault tolerance kind of thing. And I'm sure everything that they learned is going to go into try to make this a better platform overall. With that said, yes, the first 3 months, they're going to learn an immense amount about what not to do and what to do. I expect by Christmas 2020, this to be pretty solid, pretty tight, but by Christmas 2021, I expect this to be the premier experience. And then I expect, because here's the whole thing, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox, Xbox 360, Xbox S, Nintendo, you know, Wii U, Switch, game developers keep having to change their game and code for a different platform. Not with Google Stadia. You basically code once and then Google can promote the code up through life cycles. So the game could be available for always and forever kind of thing. Also, that means you'll be consistently programming against the same platform for years and years and years and years, which means when other consoles die and get deprecated and new consoles come out, they have to catch all back up again, where Google Stadia shouldn't have to do that. So with every year, it should become a better and better gaming experience for the end user. I will say I am terrified about losing games to history, because if I can't download and hold the bits myself, I'm afraid that we're going to literally have games that we are going to have available to us, then they're going to be taken away, and then no one's going to be able to document them or show them off ever again. You know, kind of like Ivor, imagine if Elvis was only ever streaming and nobody could have any of his albums or hit record. You know, yep. It would just be word of mouth. It would be like mythology.
Or ABBA.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Elvis already is a legend in his own right.
I know, I was waiting for that.
Hey, that should be really interesting to see what Google does with Stadia in the next couple of months, particularly because the tech press has been savage about it so far.
Yeah.
Hopefully they do better with Stadia than New Zealand did in the Rugby World Cup.
Oh, you had to mention that, didn't you? You want to give me a paper cut now and pour lemon juice all over it? Door, I'm resigning. I can't work with this guy anymore.
I kind of figured that was going to sting a bit.
Do you have any apps, Ivor?
Do you have any talent?
About as much as the All Blacks.
Whoa! Yes, I have an app. Here it is. This is called the, this is, quite a useful app for me because I have lots of things in my calendar, that I need to remember and, appointments that I need to go to sometimes. So what this, uCalendar widget does is it gives you a agenda view of your calendar inside your notification shade. So if you go to, if you install this app and you, then you can customize how it looks. And then, later on, you'll have, when you pull down your notification shade, you will see a mini agenda for what you have that day, or for the next few 4 or 5 days. There's lots of customization options, lots of options to integrate with, material design and, change the colors and change the look and feel. It's also got a plain old calendar widget, which I think is a lot better than the Google calendar widget. You've got customized options on that as well. You can also, from the notification shade drop-down, you can new appointments, I think. You have just lots of options for mucking about with your calendar on the widget.
You know what the in-app purchases are?
Yeah, you can get different templates. It gives you 4 free templates, but if you want to get any more or customize your own, I think you have to pay some more.
This says $1.29 to $129.99.
Yeah, I think that might be, I'm not sure why it's $129. I would never spend it. But I never would.
Yeah, that's great.
Overall, very useful.
What calendar, do you guys just use the default Google calendar?
Yeah. My phone came with a Huawei calendar, which is absolutely useless. So Google calendar is much better for me. Mainly because it has the family. I get the option of having a family calendar as well to share with the rest of the family. So that's very useful too.
Yeah, I use, on most devices, I use the default Google calendar, but I also use a business calendar, which is one of those apps that's literally been around for like 6 years at least. It did cost money. And then like 3 years after that, they decided to just go all completely free. No ads, no in-app purchases.
This particular app is just a widget. It's not the calendar. It just hooks onto your whatever calendar app you're using, whether Google or whatever, and you just allow your permissions to the calendar, and it will display whatever that your appointments are for that day. I particularly like it because it's in the notification shade. I don't have to go into the widget, into any particular app to find out what I've got on that day.
I've used a Calendar Plus for now, but I don't think I might try something different. It doesn't seem to be syncing as well as I'd like with the Google.
Gotcha. I'll just say, I really don't use a calendar. That's one of the things. If I ever have my life so organized, I have to use a calendar. I'm pretty sure I'm like well on my way to having a stroke. So
yeah. I have no memory though. So I have to have things in a calendar. Otherwise I will forget them.
I'm pretty sure I got you beat. over 1,000 concussions in my life I've had. I'm pretty sure when it comes to memory, yeah, I don't remember more, I think, but I can't remember.
For me, a calendar is absolutely necessary. Otherwise, I'd forget to pick the kids up from school every day.
Thankfully, I don't have to do that.
I will bring an app if you guys are so inclined. This one is called Video Compressor. Fast compress video and photo. I had brought a, I think it was called Panda Compress or something like that, for compressing videos on your phone in order to be able to basically send them via SMS or however you want to send them. But the more I used it, or maybe it was after I got my new phone, it just sort of crapped out and it just wouldn't work properly. And so I ended up paying with Google Rewards $4 for this. Worked really well and very easy to use to compress large videos into manageable size clips.
I think you bought something similar a little while ago.
Yeah, that was the one. That was Panda Compressor, something like that. But it didn't work as well as I'd hoped.
Yeah, because you emailing videos quite often with the kids you're looking after.
Yes, there's... My parents live down in the States, and so I send SMS videos quite a bit. Having that, the ability to compress them and easily send them is quite nice. I would recommend this over the Panda one. And like I said, I had some Google Rewards, so tossed it down, and I really liked it. And as far as Google Rewards go, it took me a while to realize that I wasn't getting them anymore, any surveys, and you have to reset it up when you get a new phone. Set it up.
Yeah. But the thing is also Huawei will shut it down in the background unless you change the power settings. So, if it's any apps are running in the background, it will shut them down after about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. Like, that happens all the time with Voxer. So if I don't send you a message back, it's because I didn't get it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it, Ivor.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I will say, to me, that's a sign of a good phone, and I really don't mean it like that, but the more abrasive a phone is about letting apps do whatever the hell they want to do, the better I like the phone. The first phone I witnessed that did that was the Asus Zenfone 2 or 3, I can't remember when it was, where it literally would monitor what apps were doing, and when you turn your screen off, it would do a hard force kill for a lot of different applications. And then I realized that there was a class of phone where it expected me as a user to not be a user, but to be an administrator. And to be honest, I'm now grown to really appreciate and like that feature in my Huawei phones.
Like this to the door?
Not like that, no. Not with the big circle.
The Asus Zenfone 2.
Gotcha. Then it might have been a 3. I'm telling you now, Asus, the only thing I didn't like about Asus was I had 3 of their phones. One of them, I dropped it like only like a foot or two, and it never would work right again. It would boot, it would run, but it just wouldn't run right. Things would, it acted completely flaky. They also had an Intel-based phone that I was shockingly surprised at the battery life and the useful functionality on it.
Yeah, same with this one. It's an Intel Atom processor.
Yeah.
And still, it's quite fast, and the battery life is quite good. So.
Yeah, and to be honest, even if you don't use it as a phone, it works as a very capable handheld tablet is the way that I describe it. Yeah.
For me, it was the camera. Camera is really good.
Gotcha. Very cool. I'm going to do one more app really quick here. This one is an app that it is extremely niche, wherever you want to put it, N-I-C-H-E, whatever. Okay, that's what it is. If you are especially a police officer kind of person, or you work at a place that has to do tint, or you have to worry about the tint density, how dark your tint is on a vehicle because of your county, state, country codes kind of thing, this app can honestly help you check your car window tint number. It's called Tinting, VLT by Next Apps Gen Audio and Vehicle. E for Everyone does contain ads, completely free to download. No reviews right now. Updated October 27, 2019, 3.8 megs in size, only 100 plus installs. Current version 1.0, 4.2 Android up, content rating E for Everyone. This to me, I'll say this, is the perfect kind of app to put on a phone that is not a phone anymore, but you're literally have it sitting around as a handheld computing appliance is the way that I put it. I literally showed this to Maryland State Police officers. That's their job. They have to have cars come in and they have to show a work order. They have to then test the tint on the windows. And if it does not meet snuff, they have to, right in front of the police officer, tear the tint off of their vehicle. So I showed this to them and I asked them, look, do me a favor, run this against a window that you know is going to fail and run your own hardware and tell me what the numbers are. And they said every time that they ran this app, it ran exactly the same numbers as their dedicated hardware did. And I know for a fact that their dedicated hardware cost thousands of dollars is what I'm going to say. So they were genuinely impressed, but they said, you know, they're going to keep it in their back pocket, but technically they still have to do their own hardware check on it. So, you know,
sounds like maybe you could have a side hustle. You'd be a window tint inspector.
Yeah, but most of the people who need the window tint inspecting hate you because they want to have their tent, like, you know, blackout kind of tent.
It's one of the most strangest apps I've seen in a while.
Well, I can't always bring Fortnite or something.
Where did you?
Yeah, where you go from? Sorry, you've gone from Stadia to window tent. That's the difference.
Where did you find?
There's nothing if not.
How did you find that door?
I used this new website called the Google, and I just typed in it something like best Android apps week. Then I went into the time and I said, limit my search results to the last week. And then I did a couple minuses to the search result because, you know, crap is out there. And the logic is it is the pendulum. You know what I mean? Like, here's like the truth. In the United States of America, we had Barack Obama get elected, which was a pretty hard pendulum swing compared to previous presidents, I'm just saying. And then we as a people had to swing that pendulum back just as hard in the opposite direction. Okay. I went Google Stadia, which is the extremely like popular thing that is going to be installed on millions of devices in a matter of months. So then I got to swing the pendulum back equally to the other side and go extreme niche. That's the logic I'm sticking to.
Door's gone full Trump.
I never said the word huge or I'm the best.
Well, big.
Let's just get that right.
I thought you were going to say that you went to the Google machine and then you typed in Android app for window tint.
Yeah, not quite that easy, no.
Who's next? Is it me?
Sure.
So this one is a game. It's called Cartoon Craft. I quite like the resource management games or strategy games where you have to build up a base, build up some troops, and then send them out to destroy something and come back again, that sort of thing. And this one here, Cartoon Craft, is quite a good take on that. It's a very simple game with quite low-level graphics, but it's actually very cheeky and it's got a really good sense of humor behind it as well. Basically, it's humans and orcs fighting against each other, and then an enemy comes along, a magician comes along who creates zombies out of humans and zombies out of orcs as well. So the orcs and the humans have to band together to fight the zombies. You end up with lots of slaughter and all that sort of stuff. Very entertaining game for an afternoon that you have free.
You had me at zombies. I will say, I convinced my oldest son, he's 14 years old. I convinced him that he needed to sit down with me and watch the original Night of the Living Dead to have a proper, this is where zombies, modern day interpretation of zombies came from. Sit down. Shh, stop asking questions. Shh, 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 just watch the TV. This is, I don't want to say, this is not a tower defense. This is a resource management game, but it's like a war simulator, like a real, like almost command and conquer type game where you literally have to like build up bases, build up armies, and then send them out to wage war.
You have an option of either playing as a zombie, orc or a zombie, or a human, sorry. Orc or human, that's it.
Did you purchase it?
I really can't remember.
It looks like you can only purchase it.
It doesn't have the price whenever I go onto the website. It doesn't tell me how much I paid for it.
Yeah, I've got 99 cents here, but I was just wondering, just making sure that it's not one of those games where you have to collect jewels and then 6 hours before you can upgrade.
No, that's my bad.
The ones that Mark really just, likes.
Yeah.
Hack and slash all the way.
Very cool. Hey,
your turn.
I was going to, Chuck Green sent in an email, subject alarm clock ? And he's just wondering about Door was turning an old phone into an alarm clock for his wife, I believe. And so he's wondering if he made any progress or if it's just not a viable solution. Peace the rhino.
Well, I'll say, you know, I, as a American male, understand I'm never actually going to make my wife happy. I can just try to make her happier kind of thing. So I'm taking this extremely slow. Extremely slow. This is the app that I am going to use just as like the heads up display part of the clock. And it's literally just called Night Clock. This was an app literally brought easily 300 episodes ago on this show. Night Clock by Ned Fox. Tools, E for everyone, completely free, no in-app ads and no in-app purchases. 8,802 reviews, 4.3 average reviews. Updated February 5th, 2014. Like I said, years and years ago. Sometimes apps don't need to be updated. 324K in size. So feel free to go ahead and pull out that phone that has 8 gigs of internal storage and that's it. You know, with like 512 mega RAM. 1 million plus installs, current version 2.52, required Android 2.01 and up. Content rating E for everyone, permissions, phone, device ID, other, because it basically like full screens on the phone. Basically what this does, this is the app that I was able to find that will literally turn your screen brightness down below normal settings. Okay. Most phones, if you take your brightness and slide it all the way down to the left kind of thing, you'll actually never go below what I believe is 30%. Might actually be 15%, but you cannot take it lower than that. Because the logic is, if you could take it down to zero, well, then you take it down to zero, and then you'll never be able to look at your phone again because you won't know how to turn the brightness back up. So there's limits on how far you, as a user, can turn the brightness. With this phone, this app, when you have it full screened, and you put it up, and you like turn your phone sideways, landscape mode, the brightness will literally go down to like 5%. So in the middle of the night, if it's completely dark in this in your room, this phone will not wake anybody up because it's too bright. Even the lightest of the lightest sleeper, I guarantee you, this will be a very friendly interface for them to look at. Very simple. All it is your old school like clock, like, you know, from Groundhog Day that he punched and destroyed. It just shows the black background, red text with the time and the date, and that's it. The logic I'm pretty sure if I put a Google alarm on it with a Google account connected to it, I can then control the Google alarm on any device and it should synchronize through the rest of the devices. The question is, will she be okay with that? And that's what I gotta sit down and, you know, talk very nicely and see if she's okay with that part. But the night clock part, this I'll tell you right now, is a really, really good solution.
You should set the alarm tone to "I got you, babe," and then you could have the full Groundhog Day.
maybe not. I'm pretty sure she would stab me in the face. Now I will say this also: this is the completely free version I linked to in the store. There is a version that costs 99 cents. Here's the caveat to it: the paid version, if you have on-screen navigation, which almost every phone does now, where on the bottom of your screen you have the home row of home, back, and recent app. If you pay the 99-cent version, it will basically be full screen on top of them, like when you full screen YouTube in landscape, you don't see those buttons anymore. Same kind of thing can happen. If you go with the free version, you'll always see a dim home, back, and recent button on the screen. So that's really the only difference between the free and the paid version.
One other thing you could try is if you have an AMOLED screen on your phone, they have an always-on display option. So and that's quite a dim time indicator. So yeah, you could have that.
I have two phones that have that, and they're easily 5 times brighter than this app.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, partially because all of those dim, all of those OLED, OLED always on screens, they're always like a white or an off white. And this is, at least is like red. It's like not, you know, contrasty.
Speaking of red, Red's in the chat room. He's saying that the Alarm Clock Plus that Mark and I use hadn't been updated for 5 years until Pi came out.
Very cool. Okay, so do you have any more apps, Josh, or you want me to pull out another one?
I got your back. I got you, babe. This one is called Tech Scanner OCR by Peace. Productivity, 68,775 reviews, 4.7 average, 1 million plus installs, $1.69 to $20.99 per item. access to photos and media and storage, camera. And it is basically what it says at the top. It's an OCR reader. So basically going from handwritten text to text. So basically what I was trying to do is recently, what got me on this path, recently I got a Rocket Book. For anybody that doesn't know, it looks like almost like a standard spiral ring notebook. But inside you use an erasable pen, and so the pages are composite plastic.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
you just wipe it off with a rug.
With a rag, and then but then also there's an app to where you can set up 7 different locations, and then at the bottom of each page there's like diamond and a heart and spade, and there's 7 different little characters. And if you put an X to the character, and then you just use the app to scan the page, it'll upload that to wherever you have set up that little icon to go to. So it can be Google Drive, Dropbox. You could have it emailed to someone, and so it automatically will upload it to there. And so what I wanted to do was find a way to take that and be able to have it upload the handwritten notes, but then to translate them, or, you know, to use OCR so that when it went into Dropbox or into Google Drive, then it would just be like a text-based PDF document.
It will recognize your handwriting.
So yes, that's what I was trying to do. I never found a way to make that happen, but that's what got me on the OCR apps, and this one seems to work pretty well.
There are lots of different scanning apps and OCR apps on the Play Store. Is there anything about this particular app that kind of sets it apart for you?
No, not really, besides the fact I installed it. But it has, for the limited time that I've used it, it has worked really well, and it has multiple languages.
So some of these apps can be a bit dodgy sometimes.
I'm only using it for really important information like bank passwords and things like that. So.
But this one has a review of 4.7, which seems pretty good, even though you have a much lower rating. So it seems this one.
Yeah, it's a good way to, I mean, you can even scan like books and things like
that. Well, dumb question. Do you know if this thing has to connect to the internet in order to do its deed?
I'm not sure. I haven't taken it offline, but it does ask, I believe this was the one. It does ask which languages you want, and then it downloads language packages.
Well, that's fine. I would just wonder that if you have no network connection, or, you know, you have it literally as like a standalone device, will it still work? Because I know some of them like to upload their work to the cloud for processing.
Come on, Dory. You think I would actually do homework on this thing?
Well, I mean, it doesn't say you have to have internet access. That's why I'm hoping that you don't, because that would be really nice.
I'm going to flip my phone into airplane mode.
Okay, well, you don't have to do it live on the show, because live demos always, you know, end up catching things on fire.
Nope. Gives me an error. Can't access the network.
Okay.
You know what? I'm revoking it. I'm not bringing this app anymore.
Okay. I'm going to bring an app that does come with a caveat and a warning. Really, it's nothing more than an opportunity. I put it to educate people on, you know, how to make like correct choices is what I'm going to say. Never believe anything blanketly. If anything gives you a tagline, take it with a grain of salt. Because you got to remember, with every tagline, even if in a court of law that tagline can be 100% accurate, there's things that they're not telling you, okay? There's an application out there called Blockada. I don't even know how to pronounce it. B-L-O-K-A-D-A. Blockada, okay? And it says the tagline, the best ad blocker for Android, free and open source. Okay. I will say what they say right there is technically absolutely 100% correct. It is an ad blocker for the entire operating system on Android, not just in a web browser or not just in like one application. and it is completely free, and it is open source code. Okay? What they're not telling you is all of the code is code that you can run yourself on your own home system. Okay? But what they actually do is you download this application, you install this application, and what it does, it creates a VPN between your device and their servers, which means they have access to everything you send over that VPN, whether it be, like you were saying, bank passwords, email passwords, social security numbers, pictures of clothed or not clothed people, or anything else goes through their network. And which means when they say that it's free and open source, you have to remember, how do you think they're affording this domain? How do you think they're able to afford those servers? How do you think they're able to afford anything? Because every customer that signs up and pipes their data through them, they are somehow making money off of. Okay? They're hopefully anonymizing your data and then selling statistics of it to other people. But there's a chance that they're literally just selling everything to other people. So when something says it's a free ad blocker and it's open source, you got to think between the lines. What are they not telling me? And number one rule in 2019, November 2019, is data is the new oil. And it really is. Like, for instance, California just got in trouble like a week ago because they turned out that they were giving facial recognition information to other companies without letting the people who those pictures were of to know what was going on. So it wasn't that they were sharing everything to other companies, but it was the fact that they didn't notify the citizens of California what they were doing. Because just sharing that information is worth a lot of money to somebody, is what I'm going to say. So if you feel comfortable sharing your information with a company, where I'll say this, I could not find how they're making money. I could not find what they were doing with your data. You can go on FDroid or you can go on Google Play and you can download BlockAda, B-L-O-K-A-D-A. But I will tell you right now, just like I've said now on another show on this network for a long time, if you do not have root, you do not know who does. If you do not have administrator privileges to BlockAda back end, you really do have no idea what's going on with any of your data, period. I'm sure they have somewhere buried some kind of like press statement of what is going on, but that's just a press statement. That's not a fact. I have no problem saying that.
Interesting to read the EULA on this one. To install it.
Good luck is what I'll say. Good luck. Because I will say there was a thing given to the Supreme Court of, it wasn't an actual court case here in the U.S., but they were just being made aware. And it was something like 99.59% of anybody who's ever signed off on a EULA has not read more than three words of any EULA. And that's because EULAs are designed in such a way that no one can actually make any sense of them.
Yeah, they're designed for rules. I just noticed on the page that you sent through, the link down the bottom, it doesn't have a Google Play Store option. It has BlockAda Slim on Google Play Store. And if you go to that link, it's a DNS changer. So it just changes the DNS that you're going through.
Gotcha.
I used to have an app called StopAd, which was a subscription model. And you know, you paid like $5 a month or something for that. And that worked really well. But because the whole Google model is ads, serving ads to its customers on their phones, they had to stop their Android application. Now it's only available on PC. At least you've got something, an option here for somebody that will block ads.
They also have donation options as well, and they have it set up to where you can donate every month or 6 months, 12 months.
It says that the full-featured version due to Google's business model isn't allowed on Google Play. Hence, the version available on Play Store only allows changing the DNS service. And then if you want to install the full app, you have to go to FDroid or XDA developers. Sideload it.
Yeah, one of my logics with ads are. If you come across that many ads on a web page or an application, maybe you should get a different application, or maybe you should go to a different website. You know, maybe it's just me.
Well, I have an ad blocker on my browser, on my Chromebook, and that works really well. I don't get any YouTube ads at all. But if I check out a YouTube video on my phone, God, I get so many ads on YouTube. I mean, I just don't use it. So, you know, there's got to be some sort of balance somewhere that allows people to actually monetize their videos as well as not annoy the user.
You pay $2 and I think it's 33 cents per user and get a YouTube Red family account with five people, and then there's no ads at all anywhere on YouTube, anywhere you are.
And, I don't really use my phone very much for video.
I'll just be honest. When I'm at somebody else's device, laptop, desktop, phone, or whatever, and they want to show me a YouTube video, I literally can't stomach the ads. I literally cannot understand how the hell I want to shake them. I literally want to shake them. How are you okay with watching these ads? What's wrong with you? You're what's wrong with America, kind of thing. I want to shake them. So, and the thing is, I really don't watch a lot of YouTube, but those ads are just, to me, some of the worst things that have ever been created.
Well, I've been working on my network the last couple of days. So I had Pi-hole was disconnected for a while, and I completely noticed the difference, and it was almost unusable. Like, the internet's almost unusable without it, and especially on the phone, like trying to go to a website and there's ads that take up half the screen, and now they have the ads that go on top of whatever text you're trying to read, and when you're scrolling it stays there and you can only see half of the text. So it's another endorsement for the Pi-hole for me.
I mean, every article I go to on my phone, I just share it to my article reader, strips out all the ads, and you just get the plain text. And I can't read articles any other way. Otherwise, they're just covered in ads.
You need to set yourself up a Pi-hole.
I've got my Firewaller already, so I'm quite happy with that. Yeah, is it complicated?
Nope, it's not complicated at all.
I'm pretty stupid. It's pretty. Pretty hard to set these things up.
If it was complicated, I wouldn't have offered it to you. Now, if you want, I can help you. I can help you set one up. All you need. Mine's on using a Raspberry Pi 2 even, so you don't need the latest Raspberry.
Yeah. So you have to get a Raspberry Pi, obviously.
No. With DiPi, you can load it as a native operating system on a desktop, a laptop. You can download a hypervisor VM, a virtual box VM, and just load it on any computer of any kind.
Machine gun with it running on the side.
Right. Or you can buy a single board computer, Raspberry Pi, Odroid, Nano Pi, whatever, or Pine, and put it on that. The good thing is, even if you do put it on an x86 computer, like an old laptop, you will never tax that device to any measure, kind of thing. It is so light.
I might have another look into that.
And then, and then you just point your DNS from your router. Or your modem, your router.
Yep.
Bob's your uncle.
I'm already using Cloudflare's 1.1.1.1 DNS service. But yeah, you still get ads with that, obviously.
Yeah, well, what you can do with the Pi-hole is you can set the Pi-hole for what DNS you want to use, but then you point your network to the Pi-hole. So then it's using Quad9s or Cloudflare or whatever. But it's stripping all the...
Using port forwarding?
No, it's just stripping the ads that you're getting. Like, it's pulling out the ads before they even get to your...
Yeah, right.
Do you have any more apps?
This is Mobile Observatory app. I know that the Play Store is rather chock-a-block with these kinds of applications. MO Pro, or Mobile Observatory Pro. And probably to get a good idea of what this app does, I'll have to share my screen with you. So you get a good idea about it. Just share my screen. So can you see it?
Yep.
Cool. This is Mobile Observatory Pro. Heaps of options. So we get a sky view top here, which is the current view of the sky. And you can see in Mars doing it a lot. So go into a planisphere, which shows stars at night. Obviously at night you'd have a lot of stars in this view. That's where you poke the camera at the sky and it shows you what's there. With this is the solar system. solar system, planets that are going to be visible tonight. And the best.
Does it use your location to find out this information?
Yes.
And then as far as the sky view, can you choose which observatory you, are there multiple observatories or is it just that one?
Not that far. I think it's more based on your own location and what stars you'll be able to see within that. You might have a live feed to some of the observatories. Navigation, blah, blah. There's a lot of functionality in this, a lot of views. If you're into stars and galaxy and the solar system, well worth the price.
That is cool. It says Linton on it, so I'm assuming that's the Linton Observatory.
That's where I live.
All right, you live in the Linton Observatory. So where
is everybody in Canada as dumb as you?
I hope not. But
well, they just voted for bloody Trudeau again, didn't they?
But isn't that a live view of the?
It's not from my house. No, this is just a graphic that they put in to make it look a bit.
Oh, really? I thought it was a view from an actual observatory, though.
No.
Tricked me.
But, there are quite a few people who like this sort of that. And it was actually quite cheap. I got it on sale. There was a special on. So, I got it for like $2. So you keep an eye out for these sort of, apps on when they come up, because normally they're quite expensive. When something like this comes up, it's well worth it at a discount.
Yes, I show, $9.99 Canadian.
I think it was 2 weeks ago I got it for like $2. So it'll probably come back up again on sale sometime. Sure.
Yep.
Would you like me to read an email?
Sure. Yeah. I like email.
This one is from Charles. I haven't seen Charles in the chat room, but he says, Dear AAA, just letting you know that no phone spam is the shiznit in my Snoop Dogg voice. I'm not sure who Snoop Dogg is, but I'm sure he is a very nice person. It is simple and effective. It reminds me of an app I paid for a long time ago for rooted phones. Since I don't root anymore, I've been using Callback List Pro. It does the job for SMS and calls, but they will still go to voicemail. The app blocks the call and you get a busy signal. This is great now that those annoying spam calls can't even screw with your voicemail. It even blocks Wi-Fi too. Working on Note 9 and Android 8.1. Thanks again. Charles. Thank you, Charles, but I would encourage people, if you're sending an email into us and you're recommending an app, put a link into the email to take us to the app directly, because I tried searching for this app in the Play Store. I just couldn't find it.
Yeah, I don't think it is in the Play Store. I believe it might be F-Droid.
Oh, it could be. Yeah.
Yes, it is in F-Droid. So even in F-Droid, it says that if you have Android 6 Plus, you don't need this app because call blocking should be supported natively, which is interesting.
Obviously not. Well, there's an option that's turned off. You have to turn it on.
Well, I know with the Pixel, it was certainly on, because I would get the big red, we think this is.
It's the shiznit, apparently, so whatever that means.
Obviously not a hip-hop guy, huh?
Well, I don't think we have that here in our country yet.
It has to do with hopping. It's probably more Australia.
Exactly. That's what the kangaroos do.
I'll bring one more here. This is called Gibbet's Bowmaster. And it's just a fun little archery game. I don't know what it is about these, like, just the physics of some of these games where, what it's called, Dor, you're good at this kind of thing, where you just have like floppy crash test dummy people.
Physics. Real word for physics or something. Physics engine games.
Right. So basically,
ragdoll physics.
There you go. Nice.
That's it. Yeah, ragdoll
physics. So it's also can be quite humorous. And basically, you just have to quite morose as well. There are individuals hanging, and you have to shoot the rope with the arrow in order to pass the level. But if you hit the person, then that takes away their life even faster. They have, it's kind of a countdown timer, so you lose more when you stick somebody with challenges and things like that.
This is really quite worrying, Josh.
You're saving people.
You don't own any guns, do you?
I plead the fifth. No.
They have red flag laws in Canada?
It's got 10 million plus installs. How bad can it be? You guys just don't have any good taste in games.
It looks great. Actually, it's something my kid would love. My son would love.
And then you can you get stars and things like that to upgrade your bow or the lifespan of the people you're trying to save. You guys just hate physics.
It was my strongest subject at school.
Well, maybe you could learn this. Why is it every time I bring an app, I feel like I kill the conversation?
You need to ask yourself that question. It's not us.
Okay.
Last app I'll bring is a $5 game. I do believe I got it on sale for, I want to say it was $1. So if this is the kind of game that you like, I would definitely encourage you to add it to your wish list. It's called Rome Total War Alexander by Feral Interactive Strategy. T for teen, 167 reviews, 4.2 average reviews. Eligible for the family library, updated October 24th, 2019, 38 megs in size, 1,000 plus installs, current version 1.13RC. Content rating, teen blood violence, accesses phone, media files, storage. Feral Interactive is the main developer behind, I want to say Civilization, but I don't think that's right. But they're a PC game maker who decided to basically port this game back down to mobile devices. And if, you know, resource management is kind of your thing, think of this as like Risk, the old board game Risk, but from like third person perspective, throughout history kind of thing, with like gigantic 100,000 people armies meeting on the field where you're like the generals controlling the flow of the battle. I just thought that this was kind of cool.
Yeah, this is a very cool game that's been around on PC for quite a while. Playing it when it was on PC.
Oh, so you,
very similar to
you like his games.
just because they're good. It's not sickos, don't play them.
Definitely doesn't look like a ragdoll physics game.
No. You get the historical aspect. And you get the feeling of you're actually, you play the strategy at a higher level, but you can actually go down into the armies and fight first person in the game itself. That's the PC game. Anyway. It says what it'd be like to be in an actual battle. I'll put a link in the notes in the chat for Civ Revolutions, which is the mobile equivalent of Civilization. Very similar game, I guess it was similar price too. But I got it on special as well last week.
Very cool.
Do you have any more apps, Ivor?
I've got one more. This is Photo Widget. So very simple app. What this does is, once it's installed, it lets you take a photo from either your device itself or from Google Photos or Dropbox or something, and it lets you make a widget out of it to put on your phone. So if you want a picture of your kids or your dog or anything like that on your desktop, on your phone itself, this will just let you do it as you would set up a normal widget. It's really simple and effective, and I like it a lot.
Wow, what a dumb app.
Of course you would say that.
Yeah, and they do ask if you can, they have a paid version, $1.99. It does look like every feature is available in the free version.
I just found it quite a nice, simple little app, because I was thinking, oh, what if there's any way I can put a picture that I want, that I've taken on my phone?
Very cool. I wanted to bring at least one news article to this show, and I will say there's been more than a couple things happening, like Samsung giving up on chip manufacturing, Google looking at opening up hardware divisions for creating secure chip design on them. We've had Samsung hint at more kinds of folding devices, but the one that I really wanted to talk about, because it really did catch my attention, was the Motorola Razr was like officially announced here in like the last day. And I gotta say, this might be among the sexiest phones I've thought of, envisioned, dreamt of, if you will, since maybe the original Motorola Razr phone, because I like feeling like Captain Kirk.
Yeah, I saw, I posted in the Reddit group, Mr. Mobile's review on it, and I commented on that and said, as soon as I saw him open it up, that was it. I was sold. I want one. $1,500, yeah. Though, American.
Well, yeesh. That's the thing. $1,500. The internal hardware inside it is literally only worth around $400 at the most. But it's a foldable phone that looks like somebody who actually knew how to do a foldable phone, where there is no crease at all whatsoever anywhere on this device that anyone can even identify. It folds inwards, which means you don't have to have another layer on your screen for protection. Has a built-in fingerprint reader on the bottom. The processor is lacking, is what I want to say.
It's about a year old, I think.
Oh, it's like 3 years old now. It's very old. But I will say, just hearing the guy open and close the phone makes me believe that you can basically like slam the phone open and shut kind of thing, and you're not going to have to worry about damaging the device. Where with the Samsung one, they literally put out like press things that said, you know, please be careful with it, please be gentle with it kind of thing. I honestly believe Motorola did this right. Now here's like the rant. Here's like the expose about the device. $1,500. Non-spectacular internal hardware. I honestly believe that they're literally intentionally overpricing this thing, so they intentionally don't sell a lot of devices. And here's my logic behind it. They don't sell a lot of devices. They only sell a couple devices, but those couple devices are going to be definitely passionate people about it, who are going to put it through its ringer, who also, it wouldn't shock me if they're getting good feedback from them on what's going right, what's going wrong. But this is going to be like a elitist type device, dare I say. When you're out in the public and you look and you'll be able to see from 40, 50 feet away, somebody take their phone and close it, and you're going to say to yourself, that's a Motorola Razr. You know, no other phone out that's out right now that you can look across from 80 feet away and say, oh, that's that kind of phone. You don't. This phone has that. I personally believe that they're purposely doing this so in like 5 years, they'll be able to sell a very similar form faction of device for around $400, $500, $600, $100 to where then, and then everybody can have them when the hype's died down and things. But also, there's a hidden feature in the phone where if you go into the settings and you enable it right, it makes the phone look basically exactly like the old school Razr phone. If you like jump to 3 minutes and 55 seconds in the video, you'll see it literally looks exactly like the old school Razr phone. And I gotta say, that's genius. That will just tickle the nostalgia bone until you puke.
Yeah, that's what I love about Motorola. It takes something that a larger mobile phone company is spent lots of money and time developing, and it shows them how to do it properly. They did this with LG when they were doing modular phone attachments. You know, LG had this complicated bloody system. You pull the bottom of the phone out, look like you're pulling the guts out of a fish or something, and very fiddly and not very well constructed. And then Motorola comes out with these pogo pin things. You just stick them on the back and away you go. So it's a shame that modular phones died pretty ignominious death, but you know, Motorola shows you how to do it, and they've always been innovative. You know, they've got the you know, chop to turn on your, the gestures to turn on your torch, or you know, the different things, the hand motions to do stuff with your phone, which no one else has. This is where Motorola shines.
Well, and I'll say, on when the device is closed, it's half height. There is a small screen on that as well, which is a touch screen, which is interactive, to where hypothetically, if you're playing a podcast or listening to audio, you don't have to open the phone up all the way, and you can control the audio player. There's little niceties, is what I'll say, about this phone that I think really gives it a really good chance to be successful. And if I had to put money down, if I had to wager, I would say this will be a very successful device, but I don't think it's going to be as successful as everyone thinks it can be. It's going to literally take almost 2.5 to 3 years for them to really, if they're able to pull it off, make this ecosystem of folding phones actually something that the majority of people want and desire, kind of thing.
They need to add more cameras. I think if you watch the second version, it should have some more cameras. It'll have an ultrawide or a macro or something like that. And it'll be 5G. It'll work on 5G, which is surprising because I think this phone in the States is only available through Verizon. And Verizon is probably the only one that has a decent 5G network at the moment. They can't use it on 5G.
Yeah.
Well, 5G where you are? Yeah.
No, 5G is nowhere unless you live in China. And it's going to be nowhere for the next 2.5, 3 years. No country is going to have even 30% of their network be up to 5G speeds in the next 2 years. So for a phone to have it, it's like a plus, but it's not actually a plus. It's like saying I have a meteor shield above my house. What good is
Stadia app?
You think though that given it's Verizon partner, you go through Verizon to get this phone, they would kind of just put a chip in there which would recognize 5G. I don't know.
Why? It's only in about 8% of the total area, and which you have to be basically standing still to use it. If you're even traveling 3 miles an hour, 5G right now won't work.
I was thinking more from the point of view of having a marketing gimmick more than anything else. You'd think
the folding phone ain't a big enough gimmick?
Well, yeah, true. Just another side, another aspect to it that would help sell it.
Well, and the cameras were unbelievably mediocre. Is the best I can say, which I was kind of shocked because I figured that would be the kind of thing that they could easily put in and have it just bump up in quality. But apparently that was too much to ask.
Especially for that price, you'd expect a decent camera.
I would expect personal concierge service for that price. Yeah, so did you guys have any more links or apps that you wanted to bring?
I'm good. I think that's good enough.
You want me to give a...
Have some more emails, I think, don't
we? We always have more emails, it seems like now.
Yeah, it's great. Keep sending them in.
It is great. And thank you, everyone that sent one in. We are kind of cruising into an hour and a half now. So if you guys don't mind, I'll just do a rundown of the apps we brought tonight, which is Stadia by Google LLC, your calendar widget by Manuel Chinave, Business Calendar 2 by AppGenic Software, Video Compressor Fast Compress Video and Photo by Mobile Idea Studio. Everyone's favorite, Tint Meter. Check Car Window Tinting VLT. Next Apps Gen. Cartoon Craft by Studio NAP. Night Clock by Ned Fox. Tech Scanner OCR by Peace. Locata by... Mobile Observatory 3 Pro. Astronomy by Wolfgang Zima. Gibbets, Bowmaster by HeroCraft Limited, Rome Total War Alexander by Feral Interactive, and Photo Widget by Lei Jia Jing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12, 13 apps. Mark would be proud.
Oh, and speaking of Mark, Abby Cockrell's fundraiser, that's now up to $2,350. So... she's got a long way to go. She wants to get to 10,000. So if any of you can haven't donated yet, please just throw some money her way. It's a really worthwhile cause.
Yeah, the link will be at the top of the notes if you want to contribute to that. And I will definitely ask everyone if you can, like, pause your any contributions you're doing to me or anybody on Podnuts and divert them over there for at least a short time. I want to thank everyone again for the emails. There are emails we didn't get to. I will thank Christian, Red Dwarf, Kevin, Charles, and Chuck Green again for the emails. Thank you very much. And do not forget, if you want to send us an email, aaa@podnuts.com. If you want to send us a voicemail, you can send it to us at 7076podnut. And if you want to, you can check us out on YouTube. We stream live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern New York time. If you want to catch when we do those live, you can either just subscribe to us on twitter.com/podnuts. We have a Discord server, that we are on as well. I try to post it in there. If you want access to that, don't hesitate, shoot me an email. And I want to definitely thank Ivor and Josh for coming out. Do you have any parting words there, Ivor?
Yeah, I just wanted to apologize to our viewers and listeners for not being able to have a show for the last couple of weeks. We almost got there last week, but we had some technical issues. I managed to sort out my difficulties at least anyway, so I should be here for the next ones. And hopefully Josh's internet issues have been sorted out too, so we should be good to go the next few weeks.
Very cool. Do you have any parting words there, Josh?
I do. Yeah, thanks everybody for listening, and definitely for the emails. Keep them coming. Both Ivor and I are new to this still, so any feedback is muchly appreciated, and we're both dealing with new sound hardware, so it's trying to tune that in and figure out what we're doing. And just want to ask everyone where they can go and what other podcasts they can listen to where one of the hosts says anignigminous with a New Zealand accent.
Ignominious.
I have no idea, but I definitely want to thank everyone for downloading. Thanks for everyone for subscribing. I want to thank everyone for hanging out live. And I do want to give a shout out to dual screens in the chat. If you're interested in Nintendo podcast, heavily focusing on like indie scene with a lot of interviews, you can check out NDS Podcast, Nintendo Dual Screen Podcast, NDS Podcast on Twitter. Weekly show, I will say, really good interviews. There's plenty of triple A games out there, but the indies out there, I think, are actually more interesting. It's one of the podcasts that I definitely subscribe to and support. So thank you for coming out to the show, Dual Screens. We will try to do a show again next week. Week after is Thanksgiving, so obviously I'll say I cannot make it for a show that week. But hopefully we will talk to everyone again in about a week. So take it easy, everyone.
Hi, this is Matt from the MRP Tech Podcast. I would like to invite you all to take a listen to my show, the MRP Tech Podcast, on the Podnuts Network. The theme for my show is Everyday Tech for Everyday People. We talk about Windows, Mac, Linux, iOS, Android, Chrome OS, and anything else technology related. You can find us on iTunes, and you can find us by searching in any podcatcher. We hope you take a listen and let us know what you think.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.